Welcome to NS9 post-game show powered by Primanti Brothers. I'm Ryan. With me is Cody. Not going solo this week. Thank you last week, Cody, for stepping in quickly.
No problem. Always here for a day game.
Right. So I know this is starting to turn into like afternoons with Cody and Ryan.
Yeah.
Buccos drop a, I don't know, it turned out to be a wild game. Had a chance to take three or four from a good division rival, end up splitting the series. We'll get into it here, but the Pirates finally get some offense and just give the game right back. So, but what's up? How are you?
You know, at least we got an exciting day game. Like, it wasn't like it was dragging along. I wasn't begging for it to end. You know, we got an exciting game today, and it started out in that first inning where we give up a run and then we get three back. But other than that, the defense needs to be better for this team. And I think that's the overlying plot of this game.
Yeah. And the Pirates offense, like we've talked about all these post-game shows with them losing, they just haven't done anything at all. And I think this was the most runs they've scored in 10 games or something like that. Against Freddy Peralta, who's a very good pitcher.
Right.
You have a lead, and they just gave it, they just kept giving it up. And yeah, it almost felt like, you know, they gave up the first lead, came right back and got the lead, you know, back again. It kind of felt like the beginning of the season again, where just they were getting timely hits and they just kept coming back and battling back. But ultimately today, they just kept blowing it. And Gary Sanchez, this was kind of like a game of the Ben Charrington's offseason come back to bite him. You know, you have Hoskins out there doubling in runs. You have Gary Sanchez homering, you know, game-winning home run. And we have Rowdy Tellez and Grandal, who we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
But it's just overall, like you said, the defense. I mean, the defense, like the outfield. Let's talk about the outfield defense. The outfield defense, sure, which, you know, they weren't plays that wasn't like they were should have been made, but you know, one went off of Reynolds' glove. Sawinski made a diving, you know, tried to make a diving catch. At this point, you know, you have Michael A. Taylor in center most games. It's just the outfield defense they're not saving very many runs for you.
No, and like you said, like the outfield's putting the effort in. Like they're trying to make these plays. I think Alex may have tweeted it out, that Reynolds' play had like a 90% like fielding percentage, like should have been an out. Yeah. And then Sawinski's was 65. So it's like still should have had the outs, but also, especially the Sawinski play, it's like you're trying to make a play on a ball that's a little out of your reach. I get it. It just sucks that you have a guy like Michael A. Taylor that makes these guys look like they shouldn't even be in the outfield, you know?
Right. Yeah, and it, so, you know, like you said, just the outfield defense hasn't been, I mean, it's been all year, it just hasn't been great, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then we're going to got to talk about Rowdy Tellez. You know, not only is Rowdy Tellez just not giving you anything at the plate, literally one extra base hit, goes 0 for 2 today, gets a walk. He's always like seems to be, if he does anything, it's a walk or a single. He's hitting 183. His OPS is at 500 now. And then his defense. Talk the play. What inning was that? The seventh inning where he's just not on the base.
That, to me, as someone who like growing up, I mean, I obviously never played pro or college ball, but growing up being a first baseman, the first rule is find the bag, put your foot on it. And for him, like, Triolo, sure, Triolo's throw had to hop to him, but it was right at him. It wasn't like he had to, like, you know, get his body in front of that ball.
Yeah, it was a good play by Triolo.
It was a good Triolo play by Triolo.
He was the only one on defense that was really doing anything today.
Right. And, like, for Triolo to have that good play with the good throw and Tellez just not, like, a professional first baseman not know where the bag is, it's just...
Yeah,
that was the icing on the cake of, you know, like you said, the Ben Charrington free agent backlash that all of these Brewer games are going to be this year. Of not that I'm not saying Rhys Hoskins is like the best first baseman ever defensively, but to have Tellez, who, as you said, is struggling offensively, 500 OPS, 180 average, can barely get the bat on the ball, and then he does this on defense. The guy is he's burning you at both ends. And it's just unacceptable. And I tweeted it out earlier that the worst part about this is that Charrington in this front office has sold this to us as Tellez is better than last year, Carlos Santana, because we could have had Santana as well, and we didn't go for him when Santana was expecting for us to go after him. And right. So you have that. Plus, there's no plan to have a fix. It's just, this is it. And that's the worst part about this.
Yeah, it's just, with the defense, forget about the fact that Rowdy just keeps, they keep batting him third or fourth in the lineup.
Yeah, that's like, ridiculous too.
Guys, like, I understand, I think that, like you mentioned the Santana, not bringing him back, or not even like really pursuing it,
right,
and going after Tellez. I think they wanted, and they anticipated Rowdy providing a little more power at the position. And I think that's what they were going for. And like one extra base hit. I mean, this is a whole month of April almost now. And he's shown nothing. And if the defense is going to be there, and I think it was Zangrilli tweeted out and said he thought Tellez made a heads up play in that. I don't know if you saw that, that he basically was saying that he thinks he conceded the play because he thought the throw was going to be wild. And if the throw got away, it was going to, you know, the run was going to score, that he was kind of just giving up and keeping it in front of him. But you can do that and still have your foot on the face.
That's like, you're making excuses for a bad player. That's all that is.
The first thing you're going to do is go to first base and you're going to find it and get your foot on it. And then if the throw's wide or whatever, then you're going to move off of it if you have to. But I mean, Rowdy's he's not a small target at first base. Like, I don't think we have to worry about that. So he just couldn't find the bag. I don't really agree with Dan on that tweet, that I don't think that's what he was doing. And even if he was, it was a poor execution because he should have had the foot on the base.
I mean, you look back at that replay, you can tell he just can't find the bag.
Yeah.
That was exactly what happened. He just couldn't find the bag. A professional first baseman didn't know where first base was.
He literally had his feet around both. Like the base was under him.
He was straddling it. If he squat down, he could have took a dump.
Right. It was like a catcher. He was like squatting over it. And it was just just crazy stuff. It's just so that the Rowdy Tellez disaster experience just continues day in and day out. They just keep batting him in the middle of the lineup. And part of that, like you said, there really isn't anybody else. I mean, you could play Connor Joe every day, which they kind of, you know, they were against lefties and stuff. But I mean, Joe comes in once again, what he said, 3 pinch hits in this series, 3 hits for Tellez. So at least, you know, he's coming in and getting hits. But it's like, there's just, like you said, there's no answer in the minor leagues. They need to not, like, this is one of the positions that you shouldn't go cheap on in the offseason. No. Go get somebody that's going to shore up the first base position. Don't get somebody that hit 30 home runs 2 years ago and might bounce back and be okay. If this guy had defense like Santana, you could kind of sell it, but he doesn't. Right. And he's not hitting at all. Like, he was brought here for power, and it's just not here at all. So,
nope.
And, you know, and especially let's get into, you know, Mitch Keller today. Especially with, you know, like, our pitching's been great this year compared to the rest of it. I should say our starting pitching has been. Keller this season really hasn't been on. He's been, and you could see it today. Like, today he was literally grinding out 5 innings, and he got 5 innings. But like, they need some of these guys, when they're not on, when he's not on, which he hasn't really been this season, like, they need help behind them. And they're just, the outfield's not given any defensive help. Besides Hayes, which we've seen Hayes have some just uncharacteristic errors this year already. Like, they're just getting no help from anybody in that field.
Right. And that that's the thing too, is that like the offense finally has woken up, right? And they gave their contribution, but then defensively, it's just you're giving up more runs. I mean, Keller had a decent start. I'm not going to be too hard on him. He got 7 strikeouts. He gave up 4 runs and a home run, 2 walks. But, you know, 4 runs with a team behind you that can produce offensively, it's not terrible.
Yeah. But
like you said, he was grinding it out. You could tell he was struggling. At one point, Oscar Marin came out. And then after that, he was throwing darts.
Yeah. 104 pitches, you know, to get through 5. I mean, he was in some jams. Like you said, 4 runs. Here, you know, I saw a lot of people getting on Mitch Keller on Twitter, even on here, saying trade Keller. Yeah, Doug in there. You know, Keller, I think at this point we all know he's not an ace. Now, if Keller's going to be behind Skeens and Jared Jones, I mean, that's pretty nice. But Keller, like, I feel like we've seen Keller can be better than this. I think at this point, I think Greg Brown said on the broadcast, it's like his 37th start in a row where he's made at least 5 innings. I mean, think about that. That's like pretty much all of last year and this year. He's like, if this is Keller's floor, if this is the worst we're going to see of Keller, where he's going to grind out 5 innings, might not have it, you know, every day, every 5th start, but he's going to get it done. He's going to keep your, you know, team in it, a chance to win. And then other, you know, we know what he can be other starts, and he can go 7-8 scoreless innings. So I think if this is Keller's floor, I mean, I think he's fine as a middle rotation arm. It's just, you know, he was kind of relied on to be the guy. Like, he was the Pirates' best pitcher up until this year, and really he was. And they extended him, you know, the $77 million. You saw people flipping out. It's hilarious. We yell all the time about Pirates need to sign people. They need to extend guys. And then when the Pirates finally do it, the fans are the first people to get on it when they're struggling. Like, oh, we gave this bum $77 million. Yeah. Well, you know, there it is. Like, that's the going rate for, you know, a starting rotation pitcher who's decent. And, I mean, Keller's going 5 innings every, you know, every game, 37 in a row. That's pretty good. You'll take that, especially if you're going to have Steens come up and Jared Jones is 1-2. I mean, that's the best we've had it got to be in years.
Yeah, and to that point about the contract, like, fans are, especially Pirates fans, are going to complain about the $77 million because we know that's all we're giving to a top pitcher. Like, for any other team, that's the going rate for middle of the road, like, 3 starter on a team. But for us, for Pirates fans, we know that's what this team gives to an ace. That's why, like, the discrepancy there is frustrating. Because you know a guy should be – like, we should have went out there and got Jordan Montgomery. You're probably going to have to pay at least $10 million a year to. And, like, I don't know. It's just to just, like, that whole thing of, like, everybody else can do it, but the Pirates can't because they're so cheap is extremely frustrating. And I get it. But at the same time, we have to realize this is where we're at. And maybe somewhere down the line it changes. Probably not.
Probably not.
But, you know, the cost of Keller is fine. Like, we're not overpaying him, in my opinion. We're paying him to be what he is. It's just the fact that this team won't pay any more for somebody better.
We should have paid for Hoskins or, you know, go get Sanchez or something. But this is the difference in this game. I mean, Hoskins and Sanchez had the big hit, and, you know, the Pirates could have had that. But, I mean, obviously, you know, Sanchez and Grandal's, like, I think that was one was $3 million and one was 2.5. So the money wasn't the difference there. I just think I don't know what they were doing with Sanchez. They should have went and got Sanchez, basically.
Yeah.
They sat around and didn't get it. And then they had to settle for Grandal. And, I mean, they even knew, I think, coming in the season that they needed more from the catching position because they obviously went and got Bart, which Joey Bart, hello, let's go there. I mean, once again, comes in, you know, 3-run home run, which again, this lineup we talked about yesterday, their only 2 runs was on 1 swing was the home run, 3-run home run, sign me up all day. Like, Joey Bart, gives the Pirates the lead up 3-1. I mean, that's why you that's what you need to see from this lineup. And that's Bart has brought it. I mean, he's hitting 304, 1100 OPS, over 1100 OPS. He's been great, and he's pretty much saving the catching position because Davis has been horrible. You know, Grandal is supposedly going to be back soon, but yeah, Bart's been great. So they picked him up, but they just like sat around and didn't go get Sanchez when they did. And but Bart, you know, that's the thing, like the 3-run home run gave the Pirates a lead. It's just, the Pirates just need, this lineup just needs more power. It's just, we're not getting it.
Yeah. And Jim says it perfectly right here. Joey Bart equals starting catcher. I've been saying this. I've been saying this since Bart got here because of how bad Davis was playing previously. Like, Joey Bart, you know, he's been showing he's got power. He's showing he can hit the ball, get on base. He's batting what? Probably sub 350 now after today's game. But he still has a good batting average with at least 24 at-bats under his belt. Like, you need a guy that produces. And I think that's the problem right now, is that I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but they're still trying to develop these guys in the majors, which is what you should be doing, but we know this team can't do it. That's why it's like shocking for me to say.
Right.
But it seems like they're still trying to develop a guy like Davis in the majors. Meanwhile, you have a guy like Bart who has played in the major leagues before, and the new scenery is helping him. I think I heard on the radio or something that, you know, his family has roots in Western PA, and like, he didn't grow up there, but it meant a lot to him to be here. And I think that might be part of something that's like really boosting his confidence to be like, hey, like, this place meant something to my parents. Like, my dad used to go to Pirates games. He used to tell me stories about the Pirates. Like, I'm all into that, you know. Like the romanticizing of baseball. I'm all into that. I think it helps a lot of guys, because look at what he was doing in San Francisco. He was a subpar catcher. Nobody wanted him. Like, everybody in the league was about to write that guy off. Then he gets traded to Pittsburgh, starts going off, and he's exactly what you need him to be. Now, the whole thing with Grandal and, you know, how we should have got Gary Sanchez. I think the thing is that they thought that Davis was going to be ready. I mean, from, you know, talking to Jordan Comadina to being in Bradenton this past spring training, like, it's like Henry was the guy and there was no other option. Grandal was just going to be there to be a player coach to him, be a mentor. He wasn't going to play a lot.
Right.
And that, like, through 26 games now, probably through 20 games, I think they realized he needs work. And like, that's why they got Bart. And they probably didn't even think Bart was going to be this good, because they're like, well, Grandal is going to come back eventually, but we need someone to back him up now. And it's working. The plan's working probably better than they thought it would.
Right. And I think that's the move. I mean, Grandal is going to be back. I think you just send Davis the AAA let him work it out down there, because he's clearly not, he's not doing it. I mean, he's been horrible.
Well, Ryan, the last time we said we should send a guy down to AAA, the guy turned it around pretty quick.
Are you talking about Bednar?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really say AAA. I said
we said IL
stint. Yeah,
I know. Which, we both so said IL stint, but I meant so it as IL stint. Send him down.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know where you want to go next here, but I think that's the move. Like, Grandal in, Davis the AAA, and yeah, let him. I mean, I'm not saying Davis is a, you know, he's done, like, he's a bust, but he needs obviously to figure it out. And
right.
You have Bart, and that's why, you know, DiNardo flipped out when Bart came in. He was all, how can you play this guy over Jason DeLay? And I like DeLay, but like, Bart, everyone was kind of writing Bart off. Like, well, he's just a bust. Like, the guy was a top draft pick. Like, it's still in the range of outcomes that a change of scenery could work for this guy. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be Buster Posey now.
right now.
He's sort not of at getting all. Like Buster Posey right now. But, yeah. You know, he still is in the range of outcomes to bounce back and be a major leaguer. And we're kind of seeing that. So maybe, like you said, maybe it is the Pittsburgh connection and the he just needed the change of scenery. Because Lord knows the Pirates have been on the wrong side of that change of scenery one too many times. Yeah. So maybe we can get lucky for once in the franchise's hey. Life and benefit from that.
How can you not be romantic about baseball, Ryan?
That's right. I saw Steph's comment. That's perfect. But I don't know. Let's talk about go ahead.
I wanted to talk about Alika Williams.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Because Alika, he's been showing up like nobody thought he would. Today he gets on base. And that's all he's been doing is getting on base. And I really like it, especially a guy who's in a depth spot who everybody thought was taking a spot on the 26-man roster from Leover Piguero. This guy he's doing what is asked of him, and I really like seeing it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, he's been, like I said, he won for four today. He had the tough line drive to him in the ninth.
That was rough.
I thought he was going to make that out. Like, that would have been a wild out where it just went straight up in the air and he just had to wait for it, but was just late on the throw. But yeah, it was, he's been great. I mean, he's hitting .323. We know the defense is there. You're inviting us over for dinner?
These sandwiches. Yeah. Gotta keep the vibes up. Can't
get the sandwiches. But yeah, I mean, besides, I wanted to talk about, if we get into the game-winning, you know, home run with Sanchez. Chapman comes in, pitches the eighth inning. I mean, I had the tweet ready to go, Chapman with three fire emojis. I mean, it was right there. He was a strike away. And Sanchez just kept battling. And then how did he hit that pitch? 102 miles an hour up and out of the zone, and he puts it into the seats.
And that's the thing. It was a great pitch. Chapman couldn't have made a better pitch in that moment. And Sanchez just did his thing.
Yeah. I mean, Sanchez used to catch him. So I don't know if something like that was going on there. But
in my fantasy baseball group chat, I'm friends with a bunch of Yankees fans. And they said that was Gary Sanchez's payback for blowing the game against Houston.
Ouch. Right. Yeah, I mean, so like I said, I'm not going to kill Chapman for that pitch. I mean, it just Gary Sanchez went and got it and turned on it and made a heck of a hit and home run. Obviously, it was the game winner. But Chapman's been 6.75 ERA now. He hasn't been very, this is the guy everyone was clamoring for to take over for Bednar. Chapman he's been struggling. And Chapman can strike out the side in an instant. But he's also been kind of all over the place. So, Holderman's come back and he's been great. It's been a great addition. But besides that, I mean, who else do you have? You know, Ryder Ryan pitched an inning and two thirds and looked fine.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the ninth inning. You know, the ninth inning. So the Pirates, you know, Sanchez hits the game go ahead home run. They're up one. They bring in Ronzi for the ninth. Now. Mm-hmm. You want to obviously keep it to a one-run game. And at the end, it didn't matter because the Pirates' offense went real quietly in the ninth, which was really one of the – I mean, the offense was kind of getting guys on all game, and then the ninth inning, it was really anticlimactic. But my thing is if I'm not going to – Bednar, this would have been his fourth appearance in five games. I'm not going to necessarily kill him, Shelton, for that, for not bringing him in. But my thing is – if Bednar is your guy for the ninth inning, if you have the lead, like let's say Sanchez didn't hit that home run. Let's say Chapman gets it out. I sent my Chapman fire emoji tweet and the Pirates go into the ninth inning. If Shelton was going to Bednar for that ninth inning save, then he should have went to Bednar for the let's keep this game to one run.
If it was a one run game, I say yes, you're right. But it was
a one run game.
Was it?
Ronzi made it a two-run game.
Oh, my bad. I'm misremembering.
Right. Yeah, it was. But, it was.
He had them both warming up. He had it set in stone what he was going to do. it's tough. Like I don't disagree with you. I think go to Bednar, but I also think maybe it's a mentality thing. Maybe Bednar, if he went in there without the lead, he wouldn't have the fire. Because that's with these closers, like that's a thing. Like they want to be in the pressure spot, and when the other team already has the lead, there's not much pressure. Sure, you want to hold, you want to get a hold, but that it's not up to you. And some of these guys thrive on that, like the game being on their shoulder, and it wasn't. And maybe that's something they know about Bednar, that hey, game's not on his shoulders. We might not get his best stuff. He might just be trying to get out of this inning, and like I don't know, not give us his best stuff. But yeah, if it were a video game, absolutely I go to Bednar.
I would have pitched him. You got to keep it close.
Right. I mean,
because the offense had been responding all game. So like, it wasn't like you wanted to write them off just down one, but you know, then they just went, at the end of the day, it was a moot point because they went quietly into the ninth. But that's, it's just another thing. There's really not any other, that's the other thing too. There's not many options in that bullpen right now.
Right.
To go with a shutdown, with Barucki injured and, Ronzi, now his ERA's approaching five. And
you already used your other two.
You use Ryan and Holderman. And so, you use Chapman. I don't know. Do you leave Chapman for another inning? But, he threw 24 pitches.
No, you can't leave him in.
Yeah, it is what it is. But that's right. I would have liked to see Bednar in that point. It felt like, Cody, that just whatever the Pirates did in this game, they just couldn't hold on to the lead. It wasn't meant to be to take 3 or 4, and it's a tough home loss against. You're playing division teams now. You're not playing the Orioles or these AL teams, the Tigers. You're playing teams in the division, and they're right there. This series has been. It's like the thing. The starting pitching has kept them in pretty much every game. Like I can't think of one loss where. They were just like couple last year and a couple years ago where it's just like, oh, we're down 7-0. This game's over. Falter was pretty much the only one that had that kind of start this year. And we ended up winning that game. So
exactly.
He was down 5-0. So we really haven't had a game where they've given it away and lost early or been blown out. So they're competitive. They need more. They need to drive the ball. They need more home runs. They need to sign a freaking first baseman. Where's Brandon Belt? Get him over here.
And something. You bring up that these are division games and you're playing the division leader, and they're the division leader for a reason, because they have that killer instinct. They have the Gary Sanchez that can hit that home run off Chapman, who I think that pitch was like 101 also, like 101, 102. Like they have that killer instinct, that clutch aspect to them. It's why they're the division leader at this point in the season. Obviously, it's a long season. It could fluctuate, but from an unbiased standpoint, I like what I see from the Brewers, and I think they're going to be a good team this year. And as the Pirates, you have to get wins. And they split the series, right? They won two games.
Yep.
So that's, worst case scenario, you got it. You won two games out of the 4-game series. Next time you see them, you got to take two more.
Look at that, Jim. I'm with Ryan on this one. Someone screenshot that. I'm assuming he's with the Bednar situation. And that's, you see from fans. The last post game I did last week, we wanted to fire everybody. And people say, then the Pirates won a couple games and it's like, oh, look, it's the season. There's ups and downs. This is why I'm frustrated. And you see other fans get frustrated. Is because the team is talented. The team is competitive in these games. They're right there. They should be right there in the thick of things in this division, that where we don't feel one team's, above and beyond better than everybody else. So they should be right there. They are competitive. They're talented. And it's like we're seeing the same stuff over and over again with some of the decisions Shelton make, some of the lineup decisions. We're just going to keep rolling with Rowdy Tellez because we signed him and, screw everybody else that thinks differently. And these approach at the plate where we're just not going to, we're just going to take pitches and strike out and not hit home runs. And it just, you know, people, you're getting frustrated. Well, that's why we're frustrated, because it's not just happening a game or two. It's happening for long stretches, and we've seen this for multiple years. It's not just this year. So that's why we get frustrated. And, you know, if people want to say, hey, I want Charrington fired, it's year five of the rebuild, you can't argue against it.
No.
Because here we are, year five. You got Joey Bart. I mean, Joey Bart's been great. But Joey Bart batting fourth. Roddy Tellez, you know, batting third or clean up the next day. And it's just like, guys, what are we doing here?
And meanwhile, you have the Reds, who did a whole rebuild in 2 years.
There's a lot of teams that have done, you know, turned things around a lot quicker than we have. And we tanked. I mean, we actively tanked. And, you know, and obviously, like, Cruz needs to be that guy. It, you know, Cruz had a good day today, 1-for-2, 2 walks. Like, you know, I feel more confident with Cruz figuring it out than I do with Davis at this point. But like, Cruz and Davis are like the two guys coming into the year where you're like, the power is going to come from them. And it needs to. And it just hasn't. So, yeah, it's tough. But that's why, you know, that's why we're frustrated.
Yeah, seems like a lot of people might be losing money on that O'Neill Cruz over 22.5 home run bet.
Yeah, didn't DiNardo take the didn't DiNardo take like the over of home runs for the whole team? And it's like, he went like, did. I think like they set a number and DiNardo went over.
For that, he was very optimistic during the over-under and all their
picks. And that's why it was the same thing in spring training. We saw Henry Davis, you know, pummeling the ball, the Bradenton wind and everything. And then Cruz was just hitting home runs like every spring training game. And, yeah, we were all hyped up. And that's and what Davis, worried me.
Davis was doing it against good pitching.
Right. It was like, he was actually hitting it off major leaguers, not just like, you know, the fourth prospect, you know, that's not going to be up for another 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, like he was hitting it off major league guys. It's just, that's what worried me. Like so many people were high on them, you know, and it is, you know, we did our over under win total, whatever, 85, 87, 90. And it's just like, you know, it gets worrying, but yeah, it is what
so
it is.
So before we get out of here, I do want to, there've been some people in the comments suggesting Jake Lamb be a fix at first base. He has been better than Malcolm Nunez. I think Jim DiNardo and Murphy talked about that on Starbucks. And I think DiNardo tweeted out some stats today between Nunez and Lamb. The Lamb is the quote-unquote answer. It's not a good answer, but it's a replacement. You know, that's right. Probably the guy that does it. But we got to see what this team does, see if they keep their faith in Tellez. I don't know how you do that after a game like today, where he just made mistake after mistake. But that Jake Lamb is probably the Band-Aid that you put on first base at this point.
That's the thing. Like anybody right now is a decent replacement. Like I'm willing to try, you know, anything. Like you want Jake Lamb? Let's try it out. Because like I said, it's April 25th. Roddy Tellez has one extra base hit. He was brought here for power. You could live with the defense if he's hitting a two-run, three-run bomb every other game. Yeah. But this, he's not doing it. And I don't know if he needs to sit. I'm not saying, like, you know, they could DFA him, I guess. I mean, it's what they sign him for, you know. But was it $4 million? Was that what he was signed for?
I don't remember.
But yeah, they're not, you know, the Pirates, are they going to DFA someone they're paying money to? Probably not. But sit him down. It's fine to sit him down and let them figure some things out. I mean, you know, they used to sit Kutch when Kutch was in a, you know, bad slump, and he'd come, you know, they'd sit him for that Brave series, and then he'd come back out and be Kutch again. Yeah. So, you know, maybe just stop batting them third and fourth too. Yeah. So anyway, let's
go. Rowdy's waiting for Bednar to come save him in an interview.
That's the thing too. Like how ironic is that? Like this Pittsburgh, this is not what we do here. Like this, like, Rowdy's the guy we should be billing now.
I know.
We shouldn't have been booked. It's Rowdy.
Last night, I think I texted the group chat, but last night I thought he was going to have a Trey Turner moment. Everybody was chanting his name, Rowdy, 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 and he hits that bomb. that falls 25 feet from the fence.
I know. I thought he did it. I tweeted out yesterday that at plus 680, he was going to be the home run. It was going to be a home run for him. And it's like, yeah, you're just waiting for it. You're like, it's like, you look at his career numbers. He hasn't been this bad in any season. And you're like, he's just, it's going to come. Like, yeah, they're going to get a, you know, he's going to run into one. He's going to, and it just hasn't happened. And it's like, it's frustrating, but you got to, like you said, you got to try something else. You got to at least sit him down. At the very least, you got to move him down in the lineup. And yeah, do something else.
And like we said, should have brought back Santana.
And that's the thing. Like, I think they brought Tellez in over Santana because they wanted power. Yeah. And it, and Rowdy, where's the power? We haven't seen it. No. So we didn't even see power from him really in spring training.
No.
So, see, he's got something going on. But anyway, let's go. I mean, thanks everyone for listening. Like I said, this is turning into our afternoon group therapy chats for Cody and I. But Pirates lose 7-5. Split the series. Yeah, that's pretty much. Sorry, guys. No sandwiches today. But let's get out of here.
Hey, if you guys like what we do here, make sure you subscribe. If you really like what we do here, become a member. Some other announcements. We announced our tailgate. There's a link to RSVP for the tailgate.
June 22nd
against the Rays, Kutch bobblehead night. We'll be partying in Gold Lot 1. Be sure to be there.
If Rowdy's batting fourth, somebody may have to pick me up off the tailgate lot.
Hey, if Joey Bart is batting fourth, we'll be hitting some Bart darts in the gold lot.
Right. Yeah. If he still has an 1100 OPS, yeah, heck yeah.
But yeah, be sure to RSVP to that. Like I said, join, subscribe, just show your support if you like what we do. We really appreciate it. And yeah, anything else we got to plug?
NS9 live tonight. I believe the guys are firing it up. So if you need a break from 4-hour draft coverage and Mel Kiper, tune in to, I think it's DiNardo. I think they're all three on tonight. I can't remember.
If
I don't think Jim's traveling tonight. But anyway, NS9. Was that?
I was just saying, from what I read, if they're doing it at 9 o'clock, everybody's going to be there.
There you go. So, all right. Yeah. So the guys will be on for NS9 live, but that's pretty much it. But let's head out of here. We'll see you guys. Take it easy.
Peace.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.